Welcome, and thank you so much for joining us. I'm Sandra Ladd, and I'm the senior minister for First Christian Church Stillwater. We are growing a Christ-centered, compassionate church where all can connect to God's love. And we hope that in this time you experience growth. We pray that this time will help you focus and center on Christ, and that in this time you will sense care and compassion. We pray that this time provide you with a deeper connection to the love of God. Grace and peace be with you. And again, we thank you so much for gifting us with your time.
Saying the phrase, "don't be afraid," always scares me just a little. There's an implication that there is something to be afraid of, and I'm never certain I'll be able to control the way I respond. We don't typically have the ability to control fear. What we have is the ability to control how we respond to fear. Control is a central theme during the season of Lent. Ashley and I had wonderful plans for Ash Wednesday, wonderful plans actually throughout the season of Lent. We were so excited about how much that we've learned throughout COVID, especially in planning for Advent, would be put to use in our planning for Lent. We were mindful of safety and planned a drive-through Ash's service. Marta was going to bake fresh cinnamon rolls and apple-stuffed French toast and have hot coffee to distribute to those who came between 7 and 9. Because of the expected cold spell, I thought it would be great in the afternoon to have some fresh hot chocolate and warm cookies right out of the oven for those that came 3 to 4. The forecast of yet another round of snow halted those plans. Really frustrating part is having to make decisions on Monday, uncertain that they'll be the right ones on Wednesday. I shared some of my frustrations with a small group of the elders at a meeting Sunday afternoon, but here's the reality. Lent is a time that we are reminded that much is out of our control. Most of us probably agree that we don't really need additional reminders of that right now, but we do need those reminders. We know that tomorrow isn't promised, but we quickly forget to treat those who matter most that like there may not be a tomorrow. We know that time is fleeting and that years pass by so quickly, and yet there's not one of us that doesn't have some regret revolving around how we spend our time. As people of faith, we know that the most important thing is God. And yet, do our lives reflect our faith? We didn't get to do our Ash Wednesday service the way that we planned, but we will do Ash Wednesday. No fresh cinnamon rolls or warm cookies. No imposition of ashes, at least not in the traditional sense. We'll read scripture. We'll listen to music. And we'll allow God to do what God does. Work in and through what we can offer to accomplish much good. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, great teacher, you place tremendous responsibility on those who follow you. You demand more than we are often willing to give. You promise no safety, only that the road will be rough. Make us ready and willing to walk your rocky path and carry your word to hostile ears for the hope and the promise of a rewarding life in Jesus Christ. Amen.
When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him, On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village.
He set his face toward Jerusalem. And that's why the Samaritans did not receive news of him, because his face is set to Jerusalem. Maybe helpful here to remember that the Samaritans were and are relatives of what becomes the Jewish people. One of the commentaries I read labeled them second cousins once removed. They were the remnants of the Northern Kingdom, worshiping believers who had their own version of the Pentateuch and worshiped in their own temple on Mount Gerizim. They were yet another group who believed that worship of the Lord should happen their way. So when these Samaritans learn that Jesus has set his face toward Jerusalem, they're immediately put off. The divide is deep, so much so that the disciples think the best way to handle the situation is to destroy the village and everyone in it. But notice Jesus' response, one very familiar to parents of fighting children on a long car ride. He tells them, "Stop," never allowing his eyes to leave the road. Now, the setting of one's face is not an uncommon expression in the Old Testament. It often has to do with simple intention. Other times, it's an aggressive intent, and still other times, it really has nothing more to do than focusing one's attention. Jesus setting his face to Jerusalem is a clear stance of intention. Jesus is going there fully aware of what awaits him. We will be required to step into Lent with the same intention, ethic, and focus, because we too are on a mission.
As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my Father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God."
Second part of the story, with a series of people wrestling with following Jesus, seems somewhat unrelated. The first person approaches Jesus and says that they will follow wherever you go, all the way to Jerusalem. The second person is called by Jesus to follow, but says, "First I need to go and bury my Father." And then a third offers to follow Jesus, but adds, "First let me say my goodbyes." To the first, Jesus warns, "This journey is rough. Following me, it isn't easy." To the second and third, he says, "First things need to be first." Discipleship, life of faith, it can't be done half-heartedly. We are called to approach this season in the same way Jesus approaches Jerusalem. This story, it's going to be ugly before it's beautiful. Death comes before resurrection, and to be fit for kingdom work, we have to be fully committed as much as is possible. This is the season of surrender. Will you?